King Jesus, we bow before you now. In our hearts, we come before you humbly and acknowledge you as the Alpha and the Omega, our great High Priest, our King, our Lord, our Master, you before whom the living creatures and the elders bow, you before whom the whole host of heaven sing and speak words of praise and honor to you, you before whom every knee will bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue will confess you as Lord and Savior. I pray that we would come gladly now and bow low before you. We lift you high and we bow low. We come not cowering in terror, but we come gladly as children of the King of Kings and acknowledge you for who you are. Holy King, Almighty God. And Father, I pray that we would come with that posture now as we come around your word with hearts bowed low, ready and gladly willing to submit to what you have to share with us. And indeed, ready to hear of the wonder of your grace. And Father, I just pray for my brother Bruce now. I ask that you bless him and anoint him for this particular moment in this task. I pray that he would know the presence of the Holy Spirit, and I ask that you would minister through him powerfully by your Spirit, and that you give us ears to hear what you're saying to us this morning. Thank you that you know every person in this room, and that you have something to say to every single person. And I pray you give us ears to hear what you're saying. And we pray all these things in the name of the precious Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Bruce.
Good morning. Can I ask you to turn to Luke chapter 15? Luke chapter 15, we're going to read the first 10 verses. And I'll read this in the ESV, but from then on, most of the references I make, most of the scripture passages I'll preach from will be the NIV, just because I'm more familiar with that. So Luke chapter 15. Before we read that together, let's pray. So our Father, as we come now to this word, to your word, we pray, Lord, that you would teach us. Father, the cry of our heart is indeed, teach us, Lord. Give to us wisdom that we might not just understand what your word is saying, but that we would know and be able to put that into practice. And so be with us now. May your Spirit be working in our hearts, both to understand and to apply. In Jesus' name, amen. So Luke chapter 15, two very familiar parables to us. I say we're going to deal with the first two parables this week, and move on to the parable of the prodigal son either next week or the week after. So Luke chapter 15, verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So we're introduced in this passage, first of all, to the tax collectors. The tax collectors and sinners. These were the ones that were gathering around Jesus. Well, the tax collectors, unlike tax collectors today, were working for the forces of an occupying power. And they weren't just collaborators. They were collaborators who were getting rich at the expense of their own people. So they bought franchises, tax franchises, from the Romans. And then they were recovering from the people more tax than the Romans required and keeping for themselves the difference. So they were really traitors to their community. And not only were they that, but they were people who had thereby rejected God's law. They wouldn't have gone to the synagogue. They wouldn't have been welcomed in the synagogue. They were despised. There was a shame attached to that. They were shunned. And the other group are just described more generally as sinners, from which we can deduce that their lifestyle was one of habitual rejection of the standards that God had set out in his word. And most people would have had nothing to do with these people, the tax collectors and the sinners. They certainly wouldn't eat with them, and all that in those days, and indeed in our day too, that eating with someone, spending time and fellowshipping with them in that way would have implied. But it says in the word that Jesus spent time with them. It says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him," that is, to hear Jesus. And it appears from the next verse, verse 2, that say he wasn't just spending time with them, he was also eating with them. And that creates a certain reaction from the Pharisees, because they started to grumble or mutter against Jesus. And we see, in fact, the same reaction slightly earlier on in Luke, if you turn to Luke chapter 5.